Welcome to Two Fools Podcast. This is Drew.
I'm Dave the Head.
This is Kayla.
Speak up, kiddo.
Sorry.
And this is our Daredevil review for episodes 8, 9, and 10.
Or as I'm going to start calling it, the feeling block.
Well, at least 10, geez. So, when last we left off, Matt Murdock had some weird and strange adventures, like bad buddy cop movies with angry Russians, and all sorts of fun things. Old angry blind men named Stick, and all that good stuff. So, we get to number 8. And,
Shadows in the Glass.
Shadows in the Glass, a.k.a. It's a Trap.
Why don't we go ahead and just read the little Wikipedia blurb there?
Well,
Matt is brought into the plan to take down Fisk by Foggy and Karen, who also introduce him to Ben. Matt advises them to take down Fisk by legal means rather than on the down low. Oh, lovely.
On the down low.
Yeah, you should never type that on the internet when you're trying to be, I don't know, semi-professional. Meanwhile, the vigilante visits Ben and gives him information on Fisk. In the series of flashbacks, Fisk remembers his abusive father, who tormented him and his mother, and is eventually revealed that Fisk killed his father after he saw him beating the mother. Beating his mother. Yeah, I'm a good reader. And that she dismembered the body and disposed of it in the river to hide the crime. Inspired by Vanessa, Fisk goes public with his plans to rebuild Hell's Kitchen and is hailed as the hero by the media.
Is nailed as the hero. Nailed. So, yeah, this is kind of Daredevil's trying to get back to what he was kind of doing after the whole flummox with Stick.
And the Russians.
Yeah. And, you know, he's trying to also bring Fisk down through the media using Ben.
Well, that was his idea when he went and saw Ben as Daredevil.
Yeah. He was giving him information, getting him to help out, and it just so happened that Fisk beat him to the punch.
Exactly. I mean, in the scene, Ben's writing the paper, and when Fisk starts talking on the news report, some of the phrasings of words are the exact same phrases.
Yep. So, this was pretty much a little too late for the Daredevil crew to bring down the shadowy man Fisk, because he kind of put himself in the light, painted himself as the good guy, starts painting Daredevil into a corner.
Well, let's talk about that flashback. Let's talk about the history of Wilson Fisk. Chubby little kid in Hell's Kitchen.
Dad's a son of a bitch. That's all I gotta say.
Dad starts off very, very rough. Very, you gotta do this, boy. You gotta do that, boy. You gotta be a man.
The man is mentally, verbally, and physically abusive.
Yeah, and it starts off rough and gets worse.
So, you know, you're usually told not to root for somebody to die, but I was so ready for him to die.
Well, I mean, while I might not be rooting for it, I did understand why he had to get a hammer to the back of the head.
Not once, but twice.
Not twice, but 8 times.
Once, twice, 8 times a murderer.
I like that Mama Fisk pulled out the garbage bags and said, like, hand me the saw.
Get the saw. So, yeah, we're getting these episodes, we're getting a number of flashbacks, a lot more than we probably did in the first couple.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, when we talk about episode 9, we're really going to have to talk about how it's screwy the time frame in that one was.
Oh, well, we'll get to that framing device in a bit.
I kind of liked it.
What, number 8?
Yeah, number 8 and number 9 with the flashbacks.
Did you?
Yeah, I liked it.
Well, number 9, the problem wasn't the flashbacks, but again, we'll talk about that once we get
to
number 9.
So, is there anything in number 8 you really, really liked? Besides Daddy getting hit in the head with a hammer.
That was the golden hour, though. That was the golden second.
The golden hour.
Careful there. We're traipsing into very bad areas with that kind of language.
Why?
Golden hour.
The golden hour is usually the hour that you have to save a life.
In medical, in certain other areas, it's not so savory. But
see, we're chaotic good. Where are you going, neutral evil?
Where do you think?
I don't know.
Down the bad path.
Oh, no, Alice, don't follow that rabbit. He's a son of a bitch.
Guilty.
He sets it on fire. With some gasoline and hate.
I'm trying to remember other than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that episode was was like 35, 40 minutes of, here's the story of Wilson, and this is why he's fucked up.
Yeah, that was mostly around Wilson. And I'm going to be honest, and I kind of hate myself for it, but when I'm watching a TV show, when the villain's backstory come on, I'm just like, eh. But when the hero story comes on, I'm like, yes.
But you got to admit, he made a lovely omelet.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was some, like, really nice poetic stuff. No, it was him cooking.
Well,
it was him cooking.
Well, again, I like that because it was establishing this is the protocol.
Well,
this
yeah,
is
I mean,
what happens.
At the beginning of the show, it's like a minute introduction of him starting his day, getting up, cooking breakfast, picking out his clothes.
Well, he wakes up, he stares at the painting. Always stares at the painting.
Yeah, I'm not going into all this. The point was, is that he does this for like a minute, and then 12, 15, 20 minutes into the show, he does it again.
Just and sped
up. I really, we had paused the Netflix for a moment so that Drew here could hit
the head.
Hey, we don't use that word. No. I'm Dave the Head. We don't hit the head.
Now if it's Wilson... No, if it's
sorry,
Wilson.
I was using the ROTC term.
Yeah, I know. You're using a Navy term.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't say that in the Army.
Sorry.
It's the latrine.
I was brought up in the Naval Junior
now
ROTC. So.
But he had a bio break, and when he got back and restarted it, it restarted right with Wilson making the eggs, and I was like, did Netflix restart? No, this guy's just that frickin'...
OCD.
Obsessive behavior, yeah. I don't know if it's OCD.
Well,
but...
it's obsessive behavior. It follows the exact same pattern.
Yeah. The difference is that if his pattern got screwed up, he wouldn't be messed up for the day. He might be a little upset, but...
I think he would have to have a moment and just stop and look.
But remember when we talked about this earlier, that Fisk looks like he has some kind of mental or social disorder?
He killed his father. I think he has a mental problem or two.
I didn't want to jump on this bandwagon, but I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and go, do you think it's possible that he has minor autism? With just the way he doesn't like speaking to people, he doesn't like making eye contact, he, you know, things have got to be done, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3.
As long as it doesn't make noise, I don't care.
No.
But, well, one, I am not a licensed professional, so I can't...
Well, obviously, we're amateur opinions.
So, and number two, I would need to see a lot more than just his kind of...
His weird behavior tics.
Yeah. I would need to know a lot more before I could say he's a spectrum of autism.
Well, I mean, would you dare to venture a guess of something?
Again, I think it's more he's got social anxiety.
Okay.
Is why he doesn't like to speak. Because he doesn't... It's not that he can't. He just doesn't like to.
Well, obviously, by the end of the show, we see that he can.
Yeah. It's not that he can't. He just doesn't. He's like me. I don't like talking. You people that are my friends don't see it as much because I'm comfortable. But if you put me in a room with, like, 10 strangers, I'm going to go in the corner and just kind of sit there.
Are you going to poop?
No.
Poop in the corner?
No.
Okay.
But I don't like talking. I don't like talking to strangers.
No one really likes talking to strangers.
Yes, but there's a mental difference.
There's a difference from, I don't really want to talk to people, to, I can't bring myself to do it.
I disagree. I like talking to strangers, because quite frankly, a lot of the social repercussions that I'm worried about with people I care about are not there, because if I say something stupid or say something wrong... That person's never going to see me again, most likely.
That's my mentality when I meet somebody. But in law and public enforcement, we have learned that there are different social ways people handle things. Of course, everyone knows that. And sometimes people physically, emotionally cannot bring themselves to meet other people.
Sure.
They get sick. They get this nerving feeling. Some people even feel like this is a threat. You're coming up to me. This is a big threat.
Now, again, I'm not that bad, and I've gotten much better through psychological help.
And it's... But some people are born with it. Some people go through that thing. And to me, I always thought from, like, when we first saw Kingpin, he had a control problem. Kind of like his dad did. His dad wanted things to be one set way, and it had to be that way, and he was going to get it. And I think...
Even if he had to take his belt off for it.
Even though, as a child, he didn't like that... It doesn't matter if you don't like it. If you're put through that kind of thing almost every day, you get into that social behavior.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah.
Again, that's a whole nature versus nurture argument that I can spend ages talking about and we'll never get any further, but he has...
Well, I think the series is happy to say it was nurtured.
Well, he has tics. We know this much, because he always grabs those cufflinks. That's a tic.
And he finally explains why.
Well, yeah, but it's still a tic. It's... When you do any action like he's doing multiple times in a day... That's not because, this is a good luck charm or something, especially when it seems almost unconscious.
Right.
It's a tick, so he's...
I'm just saying, at least he knows why.
Yeah, but, well, it's a tick, and ticks usually come from being nervous. Having nervous issues, which social anxiety is one of those, and that's one of his ways to adapt is to play with his little worry stone, I guess you could call
it. And who does Fisk go to see about his problems? Not professional help.
Nope.
Chinese drug lady.
Baba Yaga, Chinese grandma.
I mean, like, it's a safety kind of thing. It's to help calm me down. It's kind of what I do with my ear sometimes. Usually I mess with it when I'm bored, but I've noticed when I go out really large crowds, I'll go up and reach for my ear or, like, hold someone's arm.
Well, everyone has coping mechanisms.
Yeah, and it just happens to be his. It's to remind him he's not his father.
That's what he said in the show.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he rationalizes it as. Probably the reason is it's just a comforting action.
I do like, and I think it was in this episode, I hope I'm not jumping ahead, but I do like how Vanessa is starting to, for lack of a better term, complete Wilson. She's bringing his weird circle full circle.
Well, we did see that towards the end of 8, because she's the one that convinces him to come out and talk to the public.
So he's having a rough day, and Wesley brings her over, and she's the music that soothes the savage beast.
Mm-hmm. Wesley is best wingman.
Wesley
is psychotic Samwise Gamgee.
Best
way, man. I'm just saying. He's Samwise to Wilson's Frodo.
There's a joke somewhere. Wesley the West Met. No.
No.
Anything, right? No. It'll come to me later.
And he gardens with blood, not with water.
The only green he grows is money stacks. What?
But nonetheless, he beats him to the punch, and it kind of deflates their, we're going to get fists kind of deal, because now you have to find... something other than the man in the black mask told me he's doing this.
Well, do you want to move on to number 9, Speak of the Devil?
Number 9, Speak of the Devil.
Jokes.
In the wake of the public revelations, Ben, Foggy, and Karen begin to think about how to uncover Fisk's past, while Matt continues to insist that they go through the legal system. Matt tracks down Vanessa at her art gallery, hoping to gain insight into Fisk by speaking with her, and encounters Fisk himself. The firm's client, Elena Cardenas, is killed by a junkie hired by Fisk's men.
It's better, Grandmama.
Oh, come on, let's get through this before we start crying about our stuff.
You will be missed.
Yes. Meanwhile, Nobu demands a promised city block from Fisk, who agrees on the condition that Nobu provides him with a specialist in return to deal with this vigilante. However, Nobu takes it upon himself. Fisk makes a public speech designed to lure the vigilante out. Enraged by Elena's death, Matt takes the bait and goes to the abandoned warehouse where he believes he will find Fisk. Instead, he is confronted by Nobu, who proves to be Matt's equal as a martial artist. Matt eventually wins, though not before Nobu managed to severely injure him. Fisk confronts the injured Matt, provoking him into a fight and beating him near to death. Matt barely escapes, only to collapse at his home. Stop. Let's talk about...
Hispanic Grandmama.
Hispanic Grandmama.
You will be missed.
So, yes. Wilson tries to buy out this apartment complex by giving everybody, like, double what they offered. So...
And I'm going to take a moment to come out of the pathos here. I would have taken the money.
Well, I think most sane people would. I think Senora Gardenas only did not because of plot.
Yes. I believe so. But if I was her, I would have taken the money. I would have found me a bit better apartment.
She could have went to another city.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met people who have retired from New York, the state, not the city, the state, mm-hmm. sold their house, moved down here with the money that they had sold their house, mm-hmm. and was able to purchase something bigger here in South Carolina.
Well, imagine that when you're not trying to jam 3 million people into one location.
Well, I'm just saying, they weren't from the city, they were from the state.
It's because of New York, the state has a higher...
I know, but what I'm getting at is there is such a high cost of living, mm-hmm. and the low cost of living anywhere else not in New York or Pennsylvania or mm-hmm. Vermont, New Hampshire,
Connecticut,
any of the New England states. Yeah. I assume any of them except for maybe the most northern parts of Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine are probably expensive. So she could have took this money and started over.
So if you move
anywhere
to Maine, do you get a shit it's cold discount?
No. But you probably get like 50 cents every year you don't get killed by a Stephen King novel.
Mm.
Nice. Do they have insurance for that?
Hey, I got killed by a clown. My family gets payout, right? No, I'm afraid under the Stephen King
clause. Hey there, bucko.
You want a balloon? So, yeah. Senora Cardenas.
Senora, not senorita.
Yeah, we don't know if she was ever married or not.
But nonetheless, yeah.
She gets jumped by a junkie, and everybody gets really, really mad, and they go down to the bar and get drunk, and Matt bows out. And goes and hunts down.
Well, Fisk, as if on time, comes on the TV and pretty much provokes Matt.
See, I missed that part, but that's
well,
okay.
Well, because he was like, unlike the coward in
right,
the
right,
Matt.
Right.
You know,
well,
the pointed statements.
Let's talk about the annoying part of this show that we were hinting at earlier. So, when this show starts, Matt's in a fight. And then...
With Nobu.
With a Red Ninja.
Well, with Red Ninja that we come out and find later is Nobu.
So later on, all the rest of the show happens, and then we're interrupted by the middle of the show with more of the fight with the Red Ninja.
Yes.
And then the second act of the show happens, and then it finally catches up to the fight of what's going on. And me personally, I found that so messed up.
Framing device is a bit disjointed.
Yeah.
In that it's showing us what's going to happen here and there, but there are so many flashback moments in this chunk that it don't help.
Yeah, I think
you
this
know,
one would have been a better from start to finish kind of frame.
You know, I was kind of looking at y'all and going, is this a flashback or a flash forward or a...
I have a question though.
Yeah.
When you were watching it, did you not go, what's going on, and stick around to find out what's going on?
We were committed to watching the show.
I mean, yeah, but
people
who are not that committed.
No, actually, during the fight scenes in the first and the second time, I didn't feel as invested as I was in the final part, and it was just a distraction. It made me not want to pay attention.
I figured from that kind of transition and stuff like that, they were kind of going, oh, look at this. Okay.
Okay.
Look at this.
I get what you're saying. Show him a little leg. Take it away. I get it. And maybe on some people that works. I just my personality type or whatever. I didn't get it. Did you feel that way?
I honestly, I knew what they were doing, and I was quite excited about it. I was like, "Yay! They're trying new tactics."
And now, Drew.
I believe episode 8. You're not pulling in any more than you already have by this point. So that was more writer masturbation, I don't know what to call it, but...
Something new.
Well, it's just, the catch hooks, let's put it this way, if you're wanting to get into something, there's what I call the rule of three. You watch 3 episodes, and if by then you're not hooked, you let it go. Most people, it's the rule of one. You gotta be hooked on that first episode.
Well, I don't know about that. But I do agree with what you're saying, that if you've gotten to episode...
8.
9 in this case.
Well, yeah, 9 in this case. You don't really need to be pulling out the, oh my god, fireworks.
Yeah, or the false starts, or the trick storytelling. In some ways, showing 10 minutes of what happens on Tuesday, and then going back and showing all of Monday how we got to Tuesday... That's a fair storytelling thing. I agree with you. I mean, it is a good way to tell a story at times. It depends on what you want to accomplish. But they showed you what happened for 2 minutes on Tuesday, went back to half of Monday, showed you what happened for the next 2 minutes of Tuesday, went back and showed you the second half of Monday, and then finished up the last 30 minutes of Tuesday.
And threw in some flashbacks in there as well. I believe there was at least one flashback.
I might have missed it, but...
But, and see, I don't have a problem with the Flash as long as it's that event.
Well, the other thing is it helps if you know why it's a Flash. Yeah. Like, for example, when we flash back to Wilson's history, the moment I saw three old cars and heard that music on the radio, mm-hmm. I was like, this is a flashback. We're hearing somebody's history.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You had to take a few more minutes to take a look to catch on, but, you know, everyone does it at a different speed. Mm-hmm. Had Charles heard the song, he'd have told us what fucking month it was.
But,
shout out to Uncle Charles Part 2.
No, dude, he can name, like, the number one song by, like, month and year for damn near 15 years in rock and roll. It's ridiculously amazing. And kind of creepy. We sat on Wikipedia, and he did it. And even when he got to more modern music, he was still doing a pretty good job.
Well, that's why we always brought him along for...
the human jukebox?
Well, for trivia at Corbett's for the music part.
This guy drummed one time in May of 1979.
Charles knows it.
For a fog hat. Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Anyways, back on track. Back on track. Back on the track. So, Ninja.
Hey, Daredevil Heroes Hearts.
Ninja. Ninja, ninja.
Yeah, ninja, ninja.
Not that ninja,
well,
ninja, but...
Using one of the stupidest chain weapons I've ever
seen. It's a Kasurigama that did exist.
I know they do. They're just impractical.
Hey,
They're dumb.
He used it pretty well. He messed Matt up really well with it. Now, he didn't finish the job with it, mind you, but no one can finish the job
with it. That was
the
second thing. So, Matt's getting all cut up, knocked around. He's getting a few hits in hand... from time to time.
Run amok.
But he kind of tosses Nobu into the wall, and I'm doing air quotes. In the wall are...
Near the wall.
Some tanks and stuff, and fluid starts flowing out of him. Matt takes a sniff. You know what's going on. Apparently, Nobu doesn't. And Nobu throws his chain out. Matt deflects it up into a light. Light throws sparks. Sparks light the fluid. Nobu catches on fire. Angrily throws down his chain and tries to... I don't know, bear hug Matt? What the hell
He was charging at him to try to kick him.
So, I don't think Matt really won this. I think the environment did.
The domino effect.
No. No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Not dominoes.
He got super lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Had Nobu not caught on fire, not been doused in fuel. You know what I'm saying?
But anyway, you know, while we have Japanese Man on fire, and Matt's trying to cover, in walks Fisk, and Wesley, and some other dude.
And hired goon number three.
And
dude, that's the job I want on a... If I ever became
hired
an actor...
Hired goon number three.
Oh, yeah, if I ever became an actor, I totally want to make a living out of being, like, guy buying a bagel at the coffee shop while shit's going on.
Guy who never gets his hot dog because of Spider-Man.
Damn you, web crawler! You're a menace, just like Jameson said so!
Oh, I know Spider-Man had something to do with this!
Spider-Man's like, I was gonna let you eat the hot dog, but my spider sense was tingling. This thing's dangerous!
But nonetheless, and I gotta quit saying nonetheless, I did notice I keep saying that a lot in this, but...
Well, when you rent your beer, it helps.
Transition, action is go.
Action is go.
This podcast brought to you by Stone IPA.
And Drew will have another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so while this one was tear-jerking, heartfelt, Matt is what?
Precious Catholic baby that must be protected.
We also noticed that Foggy and Karen were quite invested as well, and...
Oh, we do get some time with the priest again. Matt
has a latte.
Yeah, because going back to the church for advice on what to do from the Catholic
priest. You believe the devil was a real
person?
Yeah,
do you believe in the framing device of do you believe in the devil? Is he real?
And what this was Matt trying to figure out, does he need to kill Fisk? Does he need to do an evil thing? His Catholic guilt, his religious morality, or religious-based morality, is already weighing heavy on him, and he hasn't even committed the sin.
So, you know, that's a nice tie-in back to Matt Murdock. Instead, you're seeing Matt Murdock, not the vigilante, the band in black.
I gotta say, that's what I like most about this series so much, is that Matt as a character is just as important as Daredevil as a character. If not more so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, Daredevil doesn't really have an identity.
Well, they do start calling him now the Devil of Hell's Kitchen, and I did like that.
Yes, but again, he still doesn't quite have the identity.
And he's just finally starting to carry around some sticks and a little pocket on his hip. That was a nice twist. Kayla rolls her eyes all nonchalant. No one gives a fuck. Let's go back to the fields. Let's go with our fields reporter on the street. How do you feel?
It's raining!
Tears!
But nonetheless...
The Spanish grandma's dead, you sons of...
I did it again,
rest
but...
peace.
Good episode.
Vaya con Dios.
Go with God?
Yeah.
Good episode. I could have done without the weird flashes.
Even with the weird story framing, it was still a very good episode.
I guess that's how you know it's a good show. Is if weird, but I like it.
Yeah, if you can enjoy a show even when you see things you don't like, you're hooked, yo.
So we move on to 10.
Okay, so the one part about episode 9 that we stopped, where we were reading the little review and we went stop in the last few moments of the show.
Drunk Foggy
needs to talk to Matt. Hears a crash. Gets into the house during a second way and realizes the masked man is in Murdoch's house.
Goes to beat him with his own blind walking stick.
And then the masked man falls down and Nelson lifts the mask and there he finds
Matt Murdock.
Exactly.
And so, I felt you were about to take umbrance with this for a bit.
Initially, I was like, no, Foggy doesn't know. Does Foggy know? Do I need to make a Google search? Am I going to say something stupid and I don't know? Because I don't really read the Daredevil comics. I just know the general flavor of the character from his many appearances in the comics I did read, plus the role-playing game and stuff like that. And I realized, A, this isn't a comic adaptation.
As we said, they seem to be taking a little different pace and leeway with this.
Well, and that's where we come into episode 10, Nelson versus Murdoch. And 80% of this is Nelson and Murdoch. Well, Nelson yelling at Murdoch. Foggy getting mad at Matt. And for fair reasons.
You find out that your blind friend is a masked... high flip kicking vigilante
who you for 3 or 4 episodes wanted to punch in the face or hit with a cement truck.
And so now you're just now Foggy's in that situation of he's questioning everything he knows about Matt
from the day they met at I think Columbia Law.
Yeah,
and we got some flashbacks of that.
Foggy had hair.
Yes, he was rocking quite the 80s rock and roll hair in 2010.
Well, it's coming back.
And
excuse you.
Go ahead.
They were El Grande avocados.
Okay, so Matt took Spanish and
Foggy took Punjab. And probably apparently didn't do so well in Punjab.
No, Punjab, he took it for, in his words, a hot girl in the class. And he doesn't... Oh, but it was going to be the language of business in the future, but he doesn't remember it.
The future language of the future.
Yes.
So there are two futures.
And Matt took Spanish, and he makes a little hint at the hot girl in that class. Do you remember?
Being Greek.
Yes, she was the hot Greek girl. How'd that work out? Things didn't work out so well. It never does.
There's going to be some sighs involved in this
later. Oh, I hope so. So we got a nice little fun little nod at Elektra. I do like how there's been a few other Marvel nods here and there, too.
Well, some are saying that sniper from back when that shot the cop.
Yeah.
Some are saying that's Bullseye.
Well, I mean, it could be.
Yeah. Well, he missed.
Maybe he missed. Maybe he didn't.
Well, the cop didn't die.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we didn't go over that, did we?
It's so minor. I mean, we can... During one of the previous two episodes, I don't remember if it was 8 or 9.
It was 8.
Fisk drags one of the bad cops in and says, hey, you need to kill your partner.
Because he survived and he might talk.
Yeah, and Matt breaks in.
Matt breaks in right after the partner injected him with whatever chemical that's going to kill him. And pretty much just gave that guy away to sweep the death under the rug. So, bad timing, Matt, but...
Yeah, I mean, story-wise, it makes sense in the story, but it's not that important.
But nonetheless, just to cover that up.
Yeah, sure.
And so when I was, like, they killed the cop, they didn't kill the cop, so people wouldn't be confused.
Yeah, F the cop.
F the cop.
He was on the take, yo.
In the A.
Hey, you want to firebomb the whole precinct.
Except for Mahoney.
Well, there's probably a few others in there.
Well, and whatever that other
The guy who got stabbed in the warehouse?
No, not him.
I was about to say, yes, rookie. Yeah.
Rookie 2 month dead. Rookie guy who wasn't on the take. Oh, wait, he did too.
He did. No, that one African-American cop that keeps showing up, he asked the other guy to sign in, and then he was at...
Yeah, he was at the door, yeah.
Well, no, and then he was the guy that was taking the report for the death of Hispanic grandmama.
Do you think that was the same cop?
I think so, yeah.
I gotta be
he
honest
seems
with you.
To be all right, maybe.
It,
I don't know.
It might be the same character. Mm. It might not be, and just... portrayed by the same
actor.
Yeah, background actor. Again, being that guy who's buying the bagel in the coffee shop.
It seems that the show is centering that the only people you can trust is doctors. Doctors and nurses.
And rookie cops.
And rookie cops, bless them.
And Mexican grandmas.
Stop it.
Grandmama.
Stop it!
But no.
And Foggy's amazing Spanish.
De
donde es el biblioteca?
Yes, Foggy did ask, where is the library to the Hispanic lady? But nonetheless, back to...
Oh, hell,
I gotta stop doing that!
So...
It's a speech tip.
They have a large fussing battle, realistically. Foggy is...
Not happy.
Yeah, he's not happy. And it's understood. It's understood. But the end of it, man.
Well, a lot of it is we're getting a lot of flashbacks with Matt and Foggy and, you know, going back and forth of Matt having to try to explain what the hell
is going on with him.
Yeah. And explain to Foggy. And Foggy learns that Matt can hear hearts from across the room. He's like, what is wrong?
And you can see as Matt continues to go into a story that... Foggy's conflicted between, oh god, that's terrible, but wait a minute, this guy's been lying to me. Let's focus on that.
My favorite, I gotta be honest with you, whoever the actor that plays Foggy, I think this is his best episode.
So,
they let him stretch the walls with his acting. My favorite part was he's like, can you see? Not real, but you can see. Okay, in a way I can.
How
many fingers am I holding them up?
No,
then he gives him the one.
A mistake is when you misspell Hanukkah. Almost killing a man is not a mistake.
So, misspelling Hanukkah is a mistake.
So obviously we all have enjoyed this. Oh, we got to see them at that high price law firm.
Where they were in a broom closet.
As interns, and they were about to become made, you know, junior.
Or junior partners. I have two relatives that are in the lawyering biz.
They were to get hired,
well,
and they were going to start
hired,
getting paid.
Yes, but junior partner still is not a great job, at least in big firms.
Sure, sure.
In maybe firms around here, that would have been great because it's like a four-man firm.
It's better than being in the broom
closet.
So, I like it when Foggy dumps this crap out of the box and goes, I'm stealing every bagel I can. Who knows when I'll get to eat again working with you, Murdoch.
But they had plastic dinosaurs.
I didn't see the plastic dinosaurs.
They were on the cue ball. Yeah.
It's okay. Little Wash Jr. over here. It's Tubbs.
This land.
You're making Firefly references, and I'm not getting them.
At least you got it was Firefly.
Yeah, it's good enough.
Good enough.
With the people I am friends with.
Wait, watch this. You ready? Nonetheless, let's keep going.
You can do it. You haven't done it all the time. I keep doing it.
It's true or it's Drew?
It's true!
Oh, man, we're having good times. And that betrays the heartbreak that we see at the end of episode 10. When Foggy walks the fuck out,
throws the sign in the garbage,
goes back to the office, packs his shit, and gets the brand new metal sign that you saw an episode or two ago and chunks it in the trash.
Yep, pretty much saying he's done. I doubt he is done, but...
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest with you, Foggy's probably gonna come back because it would really suck for that actor if he doesn't.
Yeah.
I think Karen will have something to do with it. I think.
Oh, yeah, she.
Karen has a bit of a sub.
I was about to say, you want to go with the B story here?
Yeah, Ben shows up.
So we learn that his wife, what's been going on with her? I think it's Alzheimer's.
Could be.
She seems to have recollection problems, and she tends to forget what's been going on just a few minutes ago.
Kind of like Peggy did in Winter Soldier. I'm sorry.
She was just old.
No, Peggy had when Steve came to visit her in the Winter Soldier, she was like, in the middle of them talking, when Steve went to go get her some water, he turned around and she said...
And she kind of started back over.
Yeah, yeah. She started all the way back over again.
I guess this is Marvel's new go-to thing, Alzheimer's.
I call it plot-itis. She's being affected by the plot-itis.
Well, to be fair, Peggy's, what, late 80s, early 90s?
Well, no, I was talking about Ben's wife.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense. So, Ben gets a hospice paper, and he doesn't want to do that.
Well, he can't get the extension anymore.
Right. There's that as well. So he's going to have to do something. And that's when he shows up at the law office and gives Karen all the materials that they've worked on, and he's done. And she says, listen, let's go drive and look at a house, a housing home, whatever you want to call it. And you don't really know why, and it ends up getting, she's like, hey, let's knock on a door and talk to someone and see what's going on, see if we can get some, you know, advice from them. So they go and visit this old lady, and through a little bit of a story, we learn...
This is Fisk's mama.
Oh, yeah. See, we've been led to believe that old Mrs. Fisk had passed away a year after Daddy disappeared.
But she's alive and well in a very nice-looking hospice,
Does seem to be affected by either old age, dementia, or the old-timers, yeah.
Yeah. But, the old-timers.
Old-timers, it's about the same
thing. But... Yeah, so we found out she's alive, well, and she's in a nice-looking hospice, I will give you that.
And Karen is charming enough that she's able to get a pretty good amount of the story.
Well, yeah, as we left off, she's saying about how it wasn't her son's fault. He wanted his father to stop, so I have a feeling they're going to be learning about a murder that happened.
Yeah.
And they might be going to the paper with that,
so
if they could back it up.
So, for the end of our synopsis, we come to 8, 9, and 10.
Well, at the very end, because this is probably going to be important as well.
Sure, go ahead.
At the very end, Fisk is at some kind of, like,
Fundraiser
or something like that, and he's giving a speech, you know, like he's been doing the past three episodes.
Yeah, I was like, is he going to run for office? And then someone makes a joke, are you going to run for office? No, I'm going to leave that to you, Senator.
And, you know, fun times having these shaking hands, meeting people. When all of a sudden a bunch of people start passing the fuck
out. Foaming
at the mouth. Somebody poisoned the champagne.
Because champagne, yo. Champagne.
And why this is important is because Vanessa drank the champagne.
Well, the other part is that Leland, one of the beginning... Okay, so there were four people in the beginning of this whole conglomerate. There you go. Of evil and whatever, the Chinese drug lady, the Japanese enforcer, the Russian deliveries, and Wilson and Leland as the kind of the money
was the accountant.
Wilson's the money provider, yeah. And Leland's
the accountant. Yeah, he's the money mover.
Well, by the time we get to this end of this episode, the Russians are dead.
So is the Japanese dead.
The Chinese grandmother wants to know when she's next. And even Leland makes a few comments about that from time to time, like, hey, you know.
And then there's that moment where Leland hasn't drained the champagne, he's holding it, and he looks around like, oh, and then drops his.
Yeah, we don't know if it's hinted that he took a sip or not,
mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I think he's totally, like, in on it. I think he knows what's going on.
I think he's done, and he's trying to just... he's agreeing with Chinese grandma that Vanessa is bad for business.
Okay, so everybody is like, Wilson's got to either be the bad guy or the good guy. He can't live with some light and some shadow, is what the Chinese woman was giving him all kinds of funny little stories about snakes.
Was giving
them
all these lovely little fortune cookie
right.
advices.
And she's doing it in, I suppose it's Mandarin. It's definitely Chinese.
I don't speak Chinese.
Yeah, one of the many dialects.
Well, I don't speak any dialects of Chinese, so I can't tell you one or the other.
So, good times. So, is there anything else we want to cover in our synopsis?
And serious romance going on between Foggy and Matt. I mean, we already knew that, yeah, but the whole Till Death Do Us Part.
Oh, is that that part of
well,
that episode?
Well, him talking
really?
About...
No, I mean...
Yeah, this is more than just a
business venture.
Well, this is more than just a union. This is a business partnership. We're going to know each other's secrets, their dreams and hopes and all that
I
stuff.
I mean, like, when they were talking and he said, I'm with you, I was thinking till the end of the line. And then I was like, no, Stephen Bucky thing, let's focus for a second. And then he did that and I laughed.
Calm down.
They can't.
It's okay.
My heart.
No, I did like the flashbacks of them in college. Just with this episode 10 was Foggy's episode.
It was. I was gonna say it let him stretch the walls of his character.
It was okay, this is sad. Here's the little lighthearted stuff. Okay, this is really sad. Look at these little lighthearted stuff. Okay, this is like really sad. Like this is sad.
I'm your friend. I'm angry. I'm your friend. I'm angry.
I'm angry that you lied at me. So, is there anything we want to talk about as this a block?
This block slowed it down from the action block.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, in the last block, we did binge on 5.
Well,
but they kind of went together so hard that they blurred into one big long story.
Well, they did, and we watched the original 2 that we were going to do one night.
Yeah.
And then we just watched the 3.
The next 3 the next night.
Those 3, when we did that night, those seemed to just go by. You know, I was like, okay. This one, every once in a while, I was kind of like, you know, like, what time is it? It feels like...
You felt that they drug on a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, this feels a lot longer than the others.
I think, in a way, that's a good thing. It was meat, you know what I mean?
Well, it wasn't that I was bored. It was more I was concerned about what time it was and whether or not we'd have enough time to do that and get this done before I had to crash.
Where on the other side, Kayla and I are fighting our nature and being patient. And not just finish watching the rest of this damn show.
Well, you're the one that wants to do this.
I do.
Finish this already.
Very, very few skills. And one of those skills consists of watching a 2-year series in about a week. I have a very good skill.
There are people listening to this
who do better. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I am simply training.
I mean, I gotta throw it out there. RJ will eat up a series in a heartbeat if he gets hooked into it.
One Piece.
I mean,
oh god!
I mean,
1 to 450.
I understand.
3 weeks.
Oh my god! I understand. This is Daredevil.
How long are the episodes?
24 minutes apiece.
So half an hour is a good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were
450. That's 225 hours.
I was about to ask if you were talking about the series, because they're now on episode 600-something.
Yeah, I left off after Marineford, but nonetheless, that's something else.
That's like 10 straight days of watching. That would be 240 hours.
I was between jobs at the time.
I get that. I'm just... that is a bit impressive to watch 25 hours worth of television in 3 weeks.
I was gonna say, yeah, I got hooked, and in this day and age where you don't actually have to put rubber to the road to apply for jobs.
No, I get it. I'm not mocking
it. No, I'm just saying that's how you do it nowadays. You hung out a couple of days when I was between jobs. I didn't leave really the house. I woke up, I went online for an hour and a half or more. Searching for jobs, putting in digital applications, and then that was
there. There you go.
Just waiting for callbacks.
But yeah, like I was going to say, RJ, when he found out about the 100, an episode on CW, he caught up to where I was in probably 3 days. So that was season 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. He caught up in, I want to say, a day and a half, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say 3.
I'm not the best out there, and I'm still teaching myself how to devour 2 whole pizzas by myself.
Sure. That's bad for you. Just one.
Just one?
No. Just one.
But with this chunk, it was slower. There was a bit more...
There's something to grab onto.
Well, there was a bit more story here.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked that. And that's why I keep saying this. Them being as truthful to Matt and Foggy as they are to the Daredevil aspect of this, to me, is so cool.
Oh, and I wasn't complaining. It's just, you could tell that there was a difference, because, you know, the action moved fast, and we're like, that felt like no time, and this was kind of like...
Well, see, I have the capability, or the luck, to compare this to other superhero-esque shows that are out now, like The Flash, Arrow, even, I'm going to throw Gotham in there, I know some people won't, but I will, and S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they are all, in my opinion, pretty good. And they're all different. Like, Arrow has ballooned with all kinds of cast members that you're getting to the point now that there's an overarch story that you care about, but you don't really get to know the characters too much. Because there's so many of them. Now...
Are they trying to ram-jam the entire JLA in there?
No. It's the Arrow, Black Canary, Arsenal, and then in this episode, in this show,
Arsenal,
aka you know, Speedy.
Well, yeah, no, they didn't just Speedy then Arsenal. He went straight to Arsenal.
Speedy's the nickname of his sister.
Oh, so they changed that up a bit.
So Roy came in and he's all like, "I'm gonna need a code name," and I forget how they got to it, but they went with Arsenal.
Arsenal. So Leanne's dead, and he's like protecting a dead cat in an alleyway somewhere. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't even know what you're hinting at, dude.
The Rise of Arsenal comic series.
Yeah, didn't read it.
Yeah, that one was fun.
Okay.
I read it while I worked at Books A Million.
So there you go. There's something. See, you got some stories I don't even know about.
Well, again, all mine come from breaks and lunch at Books A Million, where I couldn't stray far, and we had a rack of graphic novels.
I got started picking up comics in the Bilo, our grocery store, and then a comic book store opened up across from our high school, and I started hanging out over there and eventually started working for that guy at Hardee's. He worked at Hardee's and owned the comic book store. Hardee's is a restaurant, for those of you who might hear this and not know.
Carl's Jr. and other places.
Sure, sure. And they may be nationwide now, but whatever.
Either Carl's Jr. or Hardee's, depending
where
you're at.
And with Steve working all the hours at the comic book store and all his hours at night shift on Hardee's, he'd get pretty wore out. And he let me watch the store, so he pretty much let me read whatever the hell I wanted. The rule was pretty much is if it's in a bag and worth less than $20, I can look at it.
Mm. But
and if it ain't in a bag, go for it.
Other than my perusings at Books A Million, the only series I ever collected was during Spider-Man's run of Maximum Carnage.
Right.
Now,
Flash is doing well, but my problem with Flash is everybody and their mom's figuring out his identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I do realize that this is 2015.
Which Flash?
It's Barry Allen.
Okay.
Yeah. I realize this is 2015, that the technology of today is so much better that it's, you know, people can see a picture of their own house with their cat sitting in the fucking window thanks to Google. You know what I mean? I get that. I get that technology makes finding out who people are.
Cat's doing this.
Yeah, right. How many fingers am I holding up, Bill?
Boom.
This is for not leaving any food before you left the house. But still, he's so nonchalant with his identity, it's bothering me. And I like Gotham. It's police drama-esque.
So more Gordon, less Batman.
It's all Detective Gordon and a very little bit of what else is going around. Mm. Cobblepot. A.K.A. the Penguin, plays more of a part than Bruce Wayne does.
If I remember correctly, the guy playing the Penguin just doesn't even look like you would think the Penguin looks like.
No, he does not look like
the
classic.
He's just very skinny and kind of emo looking.
Well, he's very skinny and strange, but he does have, like, a bad foot, and it makes him walk with a weird waddle. And
I'll take Burgess Meredith over there.
Well, you know, that's the classic Penguin. They're showing a different one. I get that he's different. I like him. I really love the Edward Nygma character. He works for the GCPD.
Mm-hmm.
He's some kind of forensic scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And
cryptographer or something.
All that good jazz. He likes to get his hands into everything science he can, and it gets him into trouble from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's... I just enjoy the show. And, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Peggy Carter miniseries was great.
See, when you guys were talking about DC, that's not really my zone, so I was like...
Neither one's really my zone, right. But...
And you said Agent Carter, now I'm all in, what's up?
Yeah, well...
I'm all in, let's go, here's the river.
So let's go ahead and... I know you don't care, but maybe people listening might. They got a spinoff coming up for S.H.I.E.L.D., and I don't know if it's going to be a whole new show or if it's going to be like the Peggy Carter, just a miniseries. But Mockingbird and her ex-husband from season 2, who she's been working with, they're going to get their own spinoff. I saw that today.
Okay.
Other comic book news, Iceman's gay.
Okay.
It's true.
Yeah, but it's not the Iceman from... The one you know.
So was Green Lantern in the 52 relaunch, but nonetheless.
That's Earth 2 relaunch.
I know, but I had to make the joke.
Yeah. Well, that's not really a joke, but...
Well, no, they did that. I was like, Green Lantern's gay, and everybody was like, oh, really? And then it was like, oh, it's that guy.
Alternate universe guy.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I wanted to get on record and say this for the record.
Which, I'm not like, oh, that's terrible. No, that would have been neat at the original, but that kind of felt like a... pandering moment there.
Well, there's a lot of people who are saying that there was a lot in the report I saw where people are thinking the same thing about this. And that's what I was going to say was, one, it's not the Bobby Drake you know. It's not the Iceman from what they call Earth 616. It's an Iceman from an alternate past, actually.
At this point, I'd say just man up and make a main character.
Make a new character.
Make a new character that is gay. You can do it. It's not a bad thing.
I can't remember his name, but he's... We saw him today on X-Men.
North Star,
yeah. He's the main North Star's gay.
Well, North Star has never really been a main character.
Yeah,
and so when they did come out, when he did come out, they didn't really commit to it story-wise.
I mean, you have so many spin-offs when it comes to that.
You got two hands in this argument. A, you got... It's a personality trait of the character.
Yeah.
But it should not be the main personality trait of the character.
I mean, in the comics I've seen that Wolverine, he plays on both sides, apparently, because...
You're on your own on this one.
Yeah, because he actually gets with Hercules.
Are you sure you're not thinking about something else?
Nope, it's him.
Well, whatever. But I can tell you two characters that I think they do it well with in Marvel, and that's Hulkling and Wiccan.
Yep.
From the Young Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lost.
When the characters came out, you find out later on that they're in a relationship. And it's...
I have no clue who the characters are, but...
Just follow along that it's a story going on that they are young heroes who model themselves after the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Hulkling is strong, but not as strong as the Hulk. Wiccan is magic and lightning and kind of being like a Thor-esque character. It goes on. There's other characters, but anywho, that's the whole point is, this is a description of their character, but mm-hmm. it's not the definition of their character.
The sexuality does not define them.
Right.
Correct. But again, it's just kind of like, come on, DC, quit going, this person's gay, and then it's
Marvel?
Like Earth 4...
Oh,
no,
oh yeah,
Earth 445, not...
Well, Marvel's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You see, everyone comes to these comic, and even in the Daredevil, we've never really talked about it because in the show it doesn't matter. But if you read the comics and you watch the show, you might see Ben Urich in the show is an African American. And he's kind of a bit older than the Ben Urich in the comic is. Does it matter? No. The actor is amazing as an embedded, hard-hitting news reporter who's coming to the end of his career and's got to make hard decisions of whether he wants to still shake the pot and kick the bee's nest, or does he want to ride his hard work and finish up his years and just ride on his laurels. And he's having to balance that personal struggle with the struggle of, what do I got to do for my wife who's ill? And what he looks like is 99.8% irrelevant.
Other than the actor they got does look weathered, so that
does
help.
Well, see, that's what I was getting at. The point of his appearance matters is that he looks like a news reporter. He looks like he knows some mob people and has seen some shit. That's what matters.
I mean, like, back to the whole discussion of that, it's kind of hard to introduce... Say you raised on these certain type of comic books and characters were this certain way and not this certain way.
Now,
it's hard to introduce people into that. So that could be why they're like, hey, look at this guy. It's an alternate universe, so don't worry.
I'll agree that to a degree. For example, the Fantastic Four remake's coming out and the Human Torch is going to be played by a black man.
Yeah.
I think. I think that's the whole thing. And everybody's up in arms about it. And I thought about it today.
Well, Heimdall was played by a black man, too.
I didn't mind that.
Well, I didn't mind it either, but some people got pissy about it. I was like, he did fine by me.
Well, I get the point. Let's go on to the Thor tangent here for a moment. I got the point of the Warriors 3, one being Asian, one being English, and one being, fat, Nordic-esque, and Heimdall being a black man, and his sister Sif being a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know... My thought of this was, Asgard is the home of warriors. Warriors come from all races and creed.
Mm-hmm.
And I even hate using the term race because it's really, we're all humans, it's just a skin tone. But you get what I'm going with that.
Yeah.
And I get where you were going with that, you know, changing Johnny into a black man, in this case, I just want it to be logical. I don't want them to do it because, A... they don't want him to look like Chris Evans. And that's what I thought about today. Maybe they did this so he doesn't look like Chris Evans.
Well, it's probably because Chris Evans is locked down.
Well, Chris Evans was Human Torch in the first two.
But now the House of Mouse has him.
I don't know if they do or don't.
He's under contract.
Yes, they have Chris Evans.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is whoever's making the Fantastic Four movie, I think I don't want this actor to have been chosen just to stay away from, hey, that guy used to play, Captain America used to play Human Torch, this guy looks like that.
Well, they're already making jokes about that.
I was saying that they might not can get him. There might be scheduling conflicts due to contract.
You're missing the point. I'm not...
I've apparently tried to understand it.
What I'm saying is, I don't want whoever's directing this new Fantastic Four to go, we're going to get a black actor just so he doesn't look like Chris Evans.
Okay.
Okay? I want them to get this guy because it makes sense. Either A, he was the best actor for the part, or B, they're going, hey, we'll go ahead and give it a slight twist, and here's the logical reasons why we twisted it. I'm okay with that.
It's just Falcon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
You know, anyone who's never watched the what the hell is the name? Robot Chicken would not get that joke.
I don't care. I'm putting that reference in there. Whenever we come up to this kind of stuff.
Can I get a holler for the new Black Panther movie?
I've been waiting for that one to come out.
I'm hollering so loudly.
The main actor is from T.L. Hannah.
Actually, that's Meme's cousin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But people on the internet ain't gonna know who that is.
We still got a couple of years, don't we?
I don't care.
About 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
They pushed it back because of the Ant-Man movie, and I think the
Ant-Man's coming out near my birthday,
and the Miss Marvel movie.
I have mixed feelings on Ant-Man.
Dude, Kirk Douglas is Hank Pym.
I know, but I have mixed feelings.
You and everyone else I've ever talked to about Hank Pym.
The whole mini-fighting and just how some of the trailer seems to be taking the piss out of it. But that might be the point. So.
It's Ant-Man. I mean, first of all, it's a dude who shrinks. And then gets bigger.
We didn't see him ever get bigger in the trailer, so I don't...
No, I don't mean get giant. I mean, he goes down to the size of an ant and he comes back.
The original Hank Pym was also Giant Man, so...
Yeah, but he did that later. When he first came out, he only turned small.
I know, but I'm just saying.
And then controlled ants, or talked ants.
Yeah, well, that's the helmet.
Ants.
Ancho.
Ants.
Not aunts. Ants.
Fly ants.
Gonna ruin your picnic.
Those exist.
I know, but okay. He rides one into battle. Awesome.
Gonna ruin your picnic.
I'm just saying, Wasp flew into Hulk's ear several times in different variations of the Avengers story.
And just shot stuff all around just to piss him off.
My favorite was when she flew up in the Ultimate Avengers comic books to slow the Hulk down. She flashed him. That was hilarious.
I remember in the Earth's Mightiest Hero cartoon that Hank Pym had shrank down really small, and Hawkeye had got his bow ready and aimed, and he was on the tip of the arrow, and when Hawkeye threw
this
it, like...
This is because Hawkeye's in
like,
this.
Like, did the arrow, he jumped off the arrow, turned really big, and just squished everybody, and then the arrow went off and exploded. It was great team up.
This
was
because of Hawkeye's involvement.
Meow.
Yes.
Yes.
Meow.
Yes. Because Hawkeye is...
Spirit homie.
Shut it.
All right.
Anyways, we're encroaching on an hour, so...
Sure, sure.
I think it's about time for us to get any final thoughts into this. I'm still liking it. Again, the framing parts of number 9 were a bit weird, but I'm still liking it.
You, Kayla?
I have to say, I've been saying I am very excited about all of it, but I'm conflicted because I was really hoping we'd at least see his suit, and I don't want to see his suit at the end of season one.
I'm gonna...
No, we are not looking. We are not looking.
I already see it.
You're on your own. If you tell, we're gonna be so mad at you, and we're going to, like, pour water on you while you sleep so you think you've wet the bed.
I'll probably just lock myself in my room.
Okay. Okay, so here's my final thoughts. I love it. I love the show. And even when I don't like everything that's going on, I'm still so glad that they made it. I wish there was a way I knew how to support this show, to show... I've already heard they're getting a second season. We found that out.
Well, we are technically supporting the show because I'm paying for Netflix.
Sure, but hopefully there, you know, we can show that we're really liking it by watching it and they get some kind of data... I'm looking forward to
it. I'm sure they do have data on it. They might not make any more money from watchers.
Right.
But I'm sure they have analytics going, there's a lot of people watching that. Right. And just looking just kind of around the net. I mean, it's people are having fangasms over
it. It's
this.
Been trending hard.
Yeah.
You can't type DA in Google without Daredevil popping up. That's
well,
all I'm saying.
Well, realistically, that may change on people's previous Google searches.
Yeah.
The other thing is, stop snickering. There was nothing bad about that. I'm so looking forward to the Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, a.k.a. Jewel, and Iron Fist. I'm so... I just can't even wait. Can't even wait.
Woo!
Like the number three, I can't even.
What's that gonna say?
Number three, you can't even?
I can't even.
Well, this is Drew.
I'm Dave the Head.
This was Kayla.
And this was Two Fools Podcast. Please check us out on Podomatic, Two Fools Podcast, YouTube, Two Fools Network, and we also have Facebook at Two Fools Network.
Give it a look, yo.
See you later.